Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
I'm a little out of breath, actually. The testimonies, it was just so powerful, so amazing. But this morning, I want to finish up the series that Pastor Daniel's been sharing about discipleship. And I was really praying, God, you know, what can I share about discipleship? And I felt like to finish it, one of the most important things I could talk about discipleship is sonship. Because if you don't have that, all the rest becomes works and performance-based. And so this morning I'm going to share about sonship, receiving the Father's love. So let me go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for today. I just pray you would anoint my words, God, and I pray you would anoint the ears of the hearers this morning. I just thank you for this time to share, and I pray that, Father, you would have me share what you want me to share with the people, and I pray for open hearts, receptive hearts, and I just give you all the glory, the honor, and the thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, when we understand our sonship, and for women, this word sonship, daughtership, it's the same, okay? So I'm not excluding the daughters. I am one of those. And so obviously, but I just want to share because I feel like once we receive that and we're solid in who we are, in our identity, that it changes everything. You know, from this place of sonship and identity, we receive his love, and then from that place, we get to walk with power and authority as his sons and daughters. And I remember one time the Lord told me, he said, Teresa, I'm going to have you and use you to bring many sons and daughters into glory and into the greater works. And I believe one of the ways I can do that is impart this message of sonship and identity, because once you grab that and understand that, you will never be the same. You know, you can be a Christian for a long time, but still not really be solid in your sonship or daughtership. And it's a really, really important thing. I believe that this is a season of the outpouring of the Father's love, and that when we can recognize it, and not just recognize it in our head, but really apprehend it in our heart, it will change us. It will change us. And when we realize that we're loved unconditionally and completely by the Father, it changes everything. It changes the whole way you view life and view others. We never really get past this either. This is not a message we outgrow. Oh, yeah, I had that when I was little, young in the Lord. No, this is something because we will never know the height, the depth, and the width of God's love. This is something that will continue to expand in our heart, and his revelation of his love, we can always receive more. Not one of us has received all the Father's love that we can experience. Is that right? Yeah, we'll always be growing in our knowing in this. You know, it says that faith, hope, and love remain, but the greatest is love. And God wants to grow us in his love. 1 John 4:12 says this, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Wow. You know, a true son or daughter is aware of this relationship and is not ashamed to approach him or ask things from him. When you're confident of your relationship with God, then you come to him as a father, and you're not embarrassed or ashamed or condemned when you come to him. You believe yet you receive. It's confidence that you know that you're loved of the Father. And from this place of confidence comes the power and authority in your life. You know, when just recently on this trip to Africa, we were in a revival meeting. And in the evening, we prayed for the sick, and we just called up anybody who needed to receive from God. And there was an older man who was limping. He had a very bad limp, you know, super bad. And part of the reason is because his leg was shorter. I mean, substantially, probably about 2 inches shorter. So that was quite a ways. So I had him sit down in a chair. We took his shoe off, and then I held his feet in my hands. And I looked, and I said, whoa, this is way off course here. So then we prayed and commanded the leg to grow out. And right in my hands, his leg started growing out. And it equaled the other one. So it grew out about 2 inches. It was just amazing. And then, you know, we had him walk and this and that. But that it was just an amazing miracle. But one of my takeaways from this was On the last day when we were leaving, some of the African pastors and leaders wanted to pray and prophesy over us. And one of the guys said, you know, I was really impacted when I watched the ministry times, he said, because when you prayed for that man, he said, you put his dirty feet in your hands and you held them. And he said, I was so touched by the love of God, he said, because nobody wants to touch dirty feet, and yet you held his feet in your hands and you prayed and he received the miracle. He was just saying, I wouldn't even want to touch his feet. And yet God wanted to grow his feet out and perform a miracle. But I think one of the miracles that happened as well is that that pastor got to see the love of God in action. Because the word says that faith works by love. And sometimes we don't see the miracles because we don't go for it. Or we don't let the love of the Father come through us to see what God can do. Because God loves that man far more than I love that man. Do you know what I'm saying? Because he wanted to make him well. He wanted to make him whole. But we are just the conduit for that miracle. You know, you won't walk in the power and authority of God without a true revelation of your sonship or your daughtership. If you want to see those things operate in your life, then you have to come into your identity. Jesus Christ did not even start his ministry until he experienced that revelation. In Matthew 3:16 through 17, where he got baptized, it says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, before Jesus did one public miracle or ministry, God the Father was embracing him and confirming his love over him. He actually experienced not only a baptism in water, but a baptism in the Father's love before he began his ministry. And you know, God's voice spoke over him and affirmed him and affirmed that he was well pleased with him. Do you realize he was well pleased with him before he did a miracle, before he did any ministry whatsoever? It was for who he was. He valued him as a son. And Jesus had that revelation. And I believe the next great move of God on this earth today is going to be a greater revelation of the love of the Father's blessing, and the Father's heart. And I think the more that we could expand our hearts and receive, the more we're going to see that love of the Father, Father's love. And he was aligned with his Father's love. He came into alignment. And you know, when he came into alignment and came under that, then he got his assignment. Because it talks about that Jesus only did what he heard the Father doing or seeing, and he only said what he heard the Father saying. So as he came out of that right relationship with God, then he came and he operated in power. I think I've seen that myself. You know, when we have meetings or crusades or whatever, or just even in our church service, when we pray and ask the Lord, God, what are you doing? Father, what do you want to do? And we listen to his voice and we hear him say maybe a word of knowledge. I want to heal deaf ears. I want to touch the blind. And when we step out in that, then we see God move in miraculous ways. It's like cooperating with heaven because we're joint heirs, we're co-heirs. And when we co-labor with God, then we see those things happen. It's so powerful. You know, Jesus knew that he was loved by the Father. And God clarifies and wants to clarify today how much he loves you, that you're either a beloved son or you're a beloved daughter, and God loves you, and he wants you to be affirmed in that, knowing that he's pleased with your life, that he loves you. And from that place and hearing those words of affirmation from the Father, then you're solid in your sonship and in your identity. You know, even in the natural world with earthly fathers have a way to impart and confirm identity to their children, both sons and daughters. It's not just to the sons, it's to both. And have you noticed in the world today that there's a lot of gender role confusion? How many of you notice that? Anybody notice that other than me watching news? Like Bruce Jenner, the Olympic athlete, became Caitlyn Jenner. He was said, I'm a woman in a man's body. So then he had a sex change and all that. I would say that's gender confusion, would you say? I think a little of that's going on. I remember even teaching kindergarten. I was teaching a student, and I remember this was a little girl. They were twin girls, and one came and said, "I'm a boy." And I said, I thought, you know, my role as a teacher here is to set her straight. I said, "No, you're not. You're a girl. God made you a girl, and you're going to be a girl your whole life." You know, so I'm trying to impart her identity and what little I could do, you know, because I don't want them to be confused. You know what I'm saying? And and fathers are the ones that help impart that identity. So sometimes when there's confusion, there can be a lack of father love in their hearts. You know, there's also something called father hunger. And people that can experience this as well. And in father hunger, it can create insecurity, low self-esteem, violence, paranoia, anger, bitterness, self-hatred, suicidal thoughts, promiscuity, rebellion, confusion, restlessness, depression, addictions, compulsive behavior, despair, mental problems. Wow, that's a lot of things created from that fatherlessness, right? And the cure is the love of the Father. Now, you know, granted, not everybody had a perfect home life. And many people can suffer from this. But where it's most important is that no matter what your home life was growing up, to receive the love of Father God, because that's what will make you whole. Even if you had the greatest dad and your dad was awesome, still without the love of the Father, you won't be affirmed in that sonship. And, you know, you can't impart what you don't have in your own life. And many people suffer from what they call an orphan spirit. And you know, when they were ministering in Africa, there was a lot of this type of ministry going on, even among the leaders and the pastors, because so much of their mindset was performance-based, you know, what they could do for God, you know, this and that. And they had a real sense of an orphan spirit. And our planet is literally plagued with that curse of fatherlessness. But good news is that before the coming of the Lord, God is reversing the curse of fatherlessness through his great love. Amen. Malachi 4, verse 2, 5, and 6 says this: "Behold, I will send you Elisha the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." You know, I think the curse right now that we do see on the earth is that fatherlessness. And it's not just in America. It's all around the earth. We see it in Africa and different places. And, you know, if you have some of that orphan thinking, it doesn't necessarily mean you didn't have a father in the home. Sometimes you can still have a father in the home, but perhaps your father was absentee, distant, cold, or detached. And people can still experience that. You know, some of the signs of this fatherlessness that has plagued the planet is poverty. Many times people will become involved in drugs or alcohol abuse. Many times they'll drop out of school or suffer from emotional or health problems. Boys without the love of the father are more likely to become involved in crime, and girls are more likely to become pregnant as teens or be promiscuous. You know, so you can see how important that love of the father is. Another thing that can happen is not just father hunger, but father wounding. And this is similar, but it's caused when a child is doing their best to please their father. But instead of the father affirming them, they receive criticism. And this father wounding is really, really painful. It's caused from withholding approval. And so kids that are driven like that become very addicted to striving, their performance based, looking for affirmation sometimes, you know, just, you know, like that. And they're just seeking the approval. Like, if I can only do that, then I'll receive my father's approval. If I can only do that, if I can only be good enough. And that becomes really like a cycle. It's just really hard to break, and it's just really, really painful. I remember I experienced this in my family growing up, and one of the things I do want to say is, you know, we sometimes have to give our parents a break, cut them a little break, because I think most parents try to do their best. They try to love their kids. They try to be there for them. But listen, we live in a fallen world, and our parents did the best, but sometimes they could fall short of the glory of God, and especially in a home where there's maybe unsaved parents. when I was growing up, I was in a family of 9 kids and my mom and dad. Now, my parents were married 60 years. My father just recently passed away. But my dad was always in the home. So I had a dad in the home. However, my dad was, he was an alcoholic. And he, raising the kids, I remember one time hearing my dad say, and I shared this at one of the women's conferences, that my dad said to my mother, he said, "You raise the girls and I'll raise the boys." So I could, there was such a sense of favoritism towards the boys. And I always felt like I just never had my dad's love. I remember too, I brought a report card home and I had all A's and B's and I had one C in math. It was like my worst subject. I hated math. It was just, I had math phobia. My brain would freeze when I'd take tests. Anyway, whatever. I'm sharing my SOZO experience here. So I show my dad my report card. "Here, Dad, here's my report card." And I remember he said, his only comment was, "I got a C in math and I could do better." I was so crushed. You know, my brothers brought well, they didn't even show my dad their report cards. They got all Fs. And they were bad students. And I was a good student. But, you know, I just, in that one area. But it crushed me. You know, I was looking for some affirmation and I got rejection. And it was really sad. I remember even being in sports and, you know, and I was in basketball, parents were, and I was in volleyball and different, you know, baseball, different times. But I would be in sports and my parents would never come to my games and watch me. And I remember just like, wow, I would see other parents at the games, but mine didn't come. And I just felt I had that absentee in my home. And so as a result, later in life, in my teen years, I became, you know, because of some of that father wounding especially, and also because I didn't know Christ as my Savior, neither did my family, I just, you know, as a teen, just started getting out of control. My life spiraled downward. I had suicidal thoughts. I had addictions. I was depressed. I was in rebellion, and I had very deep self-hatred. I just hated myself. And I remember during this time, it was in the 11th grade, right before I got saved, my brother Tim was in a very severe accident, and he was in the Virgin Islands. He was on a motorcycle, and he was hit by a tourist. And the accident was so severe it broke his femur. But while he was there, he contracted gangrene in his thigh, and so they were worried he would die or have his leg amputated. So I remember my mom said, "I need to go to see Tim," you know. And he's in the Virgin Islands. And we said, "No, Mom, don't leave, don't leave. Don't leave us here with Dad." And I remember during that time, my dad was just drinking so heavily. He actually lost his job during that time because of his drinking. And he was just staying home. And the more he drank, the meaner he was. And we begged our mom, "Mom, please don't leave us here alone." But she had to. She had to go with my brother, Tim. And I remember during that time, it was just such a dark, dark time in my family. And you know, my older brothers and sisters weren't home, and I was the oldest girl in the family, and I remember that. And my dad just, you know, going off on me and cussing at me, cursing at me, just crushed me, even pushed me. And I remember calling my sister. My sister said, "Well, if he does that one more time, you call the police." So it was just, it was a really tough time. But it was during that time when I was really at my lowest that the Lord saved me, because I reached out for God. And the amazing thing is I got saved in Michigan, and my mom was there in the Virgin Islands with my brother. The same day that I came to know the Lord, my brother Tim got saved in the hospital there, experienced a miracle, by the way, because they prayed he got saved. He was going flatline. He was losing his life. And he was, you know, we were Catholics at that point, so he was asking for the priest to do the last rites and everything. But my mother led him in a prayer to the Lord. He got saved. And then they said, "And God, save my life and save my leg." And the Lord healed him. And he did not need to get his leg amputated. It was huge. So the amazing thing is, God is so amazing. I'm getting saved in Michigan. My brother's getting saved in the Virgin Islands the same day. Is God amazing? God is so amazing. Wow. And so you know what? After I experienced that, I needed a Savior, and I received a Savior. But I can't say that immediately after getting saved that I forgave my dad. I remember we had such a strained relationship, and I knew you know, it was wrong to have unforgiveness, even hatred towards my dad, but I couldn't help it. I just couldn't find it in me to forgive him. And I remember I was in a church service one time. This was 2 years later when I was 18. And I said, God, I hate my dad. I know it's wrong, but I can't help myself. I can't forgive him. And I was praying that in my heart, you know, in the seat. And right in the middle of the service, the pastor said, he had a word of knowledge. He was just amazing that he was so obedient to the Lord. He said, I hear right now that the Lord is telling me that there's a young girl in here that has been mistreated by their dad, and he has said some very cruel things to you, and you need to get up here right now because the Lord wants to minister to you. So at that point, I knew it was me. I mean, I had just prayed it. And so I was busted. So I had to go up. I had to go up and get prayer. But to my shock, 20 other girls were up there. So that shows you a little sign of something. I wasn't the only one dealing with that father wounding. There was many other ones that had also experienced that. But when I knew it was for me. I mean, good if they received, but it was for me. And so anyway, I'm up there, and he prays for each one. And when he got to me, I just broke. Just the Spirit of God just came all over me. And he just said, Teresa, you need to go home. You need to forgive your dad. You need to tell him. You need to hug him, and you need to tell him that you love him. And that was hard because we had just no relationship for several years. So I did that. I took the word of the Lord. I went home. I told my dad I loved him. I hugged him. And you know, something broke there. Something just supernaturally broke there, and God restored our relationship. And I love my dad, and loved my dad. And you know, the amazing thing too is that somehow when I forgave my dad, it released a grace in his life. And for a season, he was not drinking at all. It's like that forgiveness, you know, imparted grace in his life, and it was just amazing. So I understand what it's like to be wounded, to have that father wounding. But I can tell you one thing. Our Heavenly Father just totally restored me in that area. And I received that baptism of love from God the Father. And even this morning, as some of you may be listening, some of you might be thinking of your own home lives and situations, you know, but God wants to for you to experience the love of the Father. You can actually have the best father in the world, but it's nothing compared to the love of Father God, who is perfect, right? You know, God wants to bring you into your identity of sonship. And it says that all of creation is literally groaning for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. Do you realize that the earth is looking for you to come into the manifestation of your identity in Christ? That you're the answer to bring hope to other people, to actually for this whole planet. You're the answer, that God is waiting to reveal the sons and daughters, and creation is groaning under that. The spirit of sonship is where you come into that, where you realize your relationship with him, where you understand that you're a co-heir with Jesus, right? You're partners together, and God wants just to reveal that. In Romans 8, 14 through 17, it says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Daddy God, that's what he's saying. It says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If we indeed suffer with him, we will be glorified." And then it says, "For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God." It says, "For we know that all of creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now." Wow, even the earth is just groaning to see that. One of the problems, though, is that the devil is the father of lies. We know that. And he's the one that deceives people. And he deceives people, but he's a liar. And he is the original orphan. The devil's the original orphan. You know, the devil was fatherless by his choice. And he was disinherited and lost. And because of that, because he experienced that separation from God the Father, he is wanting to curse all of humanity, and he wants to bring others into his same disinheritance and his orphan condition. And he literally sets himself up against the love of God and tries to deceive people. You know, he came and he rebelled against authority, God's authority. He wanted to self-promote himself, you know, and he said, I will be like the Most High. He, instead of aligning himself with God, he rebelled against the love of the Father. At a heart. Now, Jesus, on the other hand, always aligned himself with the Father. He had a heart of a son. He didn't have an independent orphan spirit. He received that, and he had a heart of an attitude of submission. He was always under the mission of God. He wasn't trying to do his own thing. And, you know, that's what Christ wants us to have, the same heart. In Philippians 2, 5 through 8, it says, Jesus had the heart of humility, submission to authority. However, Satan resented the idea of serving a king. Instead of obedience, he started an uprising and rebellion. You know, he's always looking to do that. He's always looking to pervert the way you see God as your Father. He's trying to do that because he wants to take your identity and your sonship from you. You know, God is looking to have a family. That's why he had Adam and Eve to begin with. He wanted to have that personal relationship. But even in the Bible, I'm thinking of the story of the prodigal son. If you've seen that story, many times we focus on the father's love or we focus on the prodigal son. But I want to talk a minute about the elder brother. The elder brother had an orphan spirit. He did. He did not really receive the father's love, though he was in the house with him. And he said he was always working. Remember when he said, how come you've never thrown a party for me? Here, I've been here working for you my whole life. You know, he was trying to earn his approval, not realizing he already had his love, right? He was working for it. He saw his father more like a boss or employer instead of a dad, right? And he couldn't even rejoice when somebody else experienced that reconciliation. That was some of his orphan tendencies. Galatians 3, 26 through 27 says this, so in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God through faith, for you are baptized into Christ and you're clothed with Christ. You might not have been baptized in the water Jordan, but when you came to know Christ, you were baptized and clothed with Christ. And through the Spirit, you were endued with power. But God also wants to baptize you in the Father's love and give you a greater revelation of that. You are a beloved son and daughter of God. And God wants you to accept that and realize that and let that revelation, not just from here, head knowledge, but heart knowledge, where it actually transforms you and you see life with a new lens. The unconditional love of God, just as the Spirit alighted on Jesus Christ, right? And then God embraced him. He was covered with the love, and those tender words of affirmation were spoken, and God bestowed his identity. You are his son. You are his daughter. And today, I just want you to really just take in that revelation of that, because the Father wants to be close to you. He wants you to be connected. He wants that relationship with you. And he yearns for that. He was willing to send Jesus Christ. And you say, well, how valuable am I? Well, you can tell your value by the fact that he was willing to give his only son to purchase you from Satan's hold, right? So God is well pleased in you. The Father's unconditional and genuine love. He just wants to wrap you in that today. He wants to free you from the guilt of sin and shame, the fear of failure, the fear of rejection, even the fear of intimacy, the fear of giving and receiving love. And with that, the baptism and love can just fill those voids in your heart. You know, it says that there's a place in our hearts that only God's love can fill. Not human love is sufficient. We have to receive the love of the Father. You know, Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness in Matthew 4, 1 through 10, he was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and after was hungry. And during that time, the devil came when he was at one of his weakest points, and he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And then again, he tempted him again in a third temptation. And he said to worship the devil. But Jesus said, "Away, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only can you serve." Many times I saw these temptations of Jesus Christ in the wilderness, and this was right after his baptism where God affirmed him as a son. And many times I thought, oh, these temptations are for the, you know, food and security and power. That's what these temptations are all about. But later I looked at it with new eyes and realized the biggest temptation here that Satan was hurling against Jesus was to doubt his sonship. He wanted him to doubt right after the God confirmed and affirmed him, "You're my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." What did the devil do? The devil came with the lies. If you are the son of God, he was the son of God. And I believe the same is true in your life, because from that place of sonship and security, all the other miracles flowed when he was secure in that. And I believe for you as well, when you're solid in your realization that you're a beloved son or daughter, from that place of security, then all the other things happen in your life. It's the Father's blessing. It's staying in alignment with him, right? Coming under that love and that blessing. You know, many times in the Old Testament too, you saw the fathers would bless the children. Many times, like over the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they would say a blessing over them before they would leave. And it was just imparting that father's blessing, right? Well, something kind of cool happened in my life. My dad passed away 2 years ago, but when he was sick in the hospital, I went to Florida, got to spend time with him. It was really awesome. So my mom and I, he was in the hospital about a month. So my mother and I would visit him every day, hold his hands, pray with him, encourage him. I was really believing for a resurrection, you know, that God could just heal him. But anyway, as the time passed on, his body became weaker and weaker, and he had pneumonia in the lungs, and he had just different situation happen. But anyway, one of the last days I heard the Lord tell me, when I was praying for him, just believing for a miracle, but the Lord spoke to me in the morning and said, "Today your dad will be with me in paradise." So I knew that even though I had prayed, that God was going to take him that day. So that day when I went to his hospital, he was actually in hospice by then, and my mom and I were both holding his hands and just praying and blessing him and just loving on him as best we could. But it was amazing. Right before he passed, he started doing something really kind of strange, because he had tubes. He was very, very in weakened state. But he started raising his hands up and looking up. He just kept doing this. And he had like an astonished look on his face, like he was seeing something. I said, "Dad, what are you seeing? Are you seeing angels? Are you seeing Jesus?" You know, it was just, you could tell that he was seeing beyond the veil. He was starting to see glimpses of heaven. It was really obvious. But then he did something really unusual that was really pretty cool. And I was just sitting there by his bedside praying and blessing him. And all of a sudden, he just like put his hand up and he just went like this. He like crashed his big lumpy arm on my head. And I said, "What are you doing?" He couldn't talk, though. He had lost the ability to speak at that point. And I said, "Dad, what are you doing? Are you blessing me? Are you blessing me?" And I said, "Oh, thank you, Dad. I receive that. I receive your blessing right now. I said, thank you, Dad. I love you. Thank you for blessing me." It was really, really beautiful. And then, honestly, like minutes after that, he passed away. But I got to be there, and it was just really, really powerful. And it was real, just special to me, because God truly restored my relationship with my dad. And I mean, for many years, we had a great relationship, but it was just precious that on his deathbed, my dad gave me his blessing as well. You know, Psalm 2, 7 through 8 says this: "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, 'You are my son, and today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession.'" Do you realize that when you come into sonship, your identity in Christ, that you come into a place of power where literally God can trust you? He can trust you with power. He can trust you with authority. And it says, "Ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance and the ends of the earth as your possession." Do you know when you come into that place? Because number one, you're in alignment with the Father's love. You're going to do things that are pleasing to him. You're going to walk worthy of that calling. And you know, God is saying, ask. He's like giving you a blank check. Ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. Amen. God wants to do that in your life as well. Can you go ahead and stand with me right now? I want to give an opportunity for you if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the beginning. That's the beginning part right there to make your peace with God. And I'm going to ask this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, will you please raise your hand and say, that's me. I've never asked Jesus to come into my heart. I don't know I'm saved. I am so grateful that someone shared their gospel with me. I would not be here today had God not saved me, and that's for sure. So is there anyone here today? I want to give you a chance to get saved. You know, amazing, even at the pastor's conference, we gave an altar call and people got saved. So you never know, right? Okay, well, I'm going to say a blessing over you right now. Can you just put your hands out just to receive? Yeah, thank you, Father. Father, I just prayed this morning that this wasn't just a words, but Father, you would just impact their hearts with your revelation of who you are, that you will just baptize them right now with your love. Let that tangible love of the Father come down and just fill every void in their life, Father. I pray that you would affirm them that they are beloved sons and daughters and you're well pleased with them. They're not falling short of your glory, God. You love them. I thank you for that unconditional love of the Father. I pray that you would just encourage them in their identity with you, Father God, that they would not doubt their sonship. They would not doubt their daughtership in you. Thank you, Father. I just pray your blessing over them. I pray your covering over them. And I just thank you for them in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. This morning, if you need prayer for any reason, I'm going to have the prayer team come up here. They'll be here to pray with you, agree in prayer, just, you know, and I'm just encouraging you, just spend time with God this week and just really let him search your heart and your mind and your thoughts and just show you things in your life. I believe he just wants to affirm you this week. Anyway, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit. You pour out your spirit in the midst of a dry and thirsty land. You give of your mercy with a mighty